What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Apartment People, champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. You're listening to Cluck, the podcast where Ted Cluck and Josh Loftus talk about the things that make them happy. Because we can. Let's do it. Ted, my man, good morning. Now, I always forget when we record. Are you pre-workout or post-workout? Because you've got the workout gear on most times.
Yeah, dude, I am.
Are you going into one after this?
No, I just came out of one. I just got out of the ring, actually. Okay. I sparred four rounds. It was a good session. Felt really sharp. Felt nice. Good, man. So yeah. I had a little protein smoothie right after the ring, and then came right here. So you're looking at post workout. You know, the outfit's nothing special. Got a little bruise on the shoulder from some acupuncture that went awry.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, man, just trying to hold the body together, Josh. It's a full time job at my age.
Now I don't know if I want to ask, but how does acupuncture go awry, my friend? Because the whole thought, and we've talked about this before, but the whole concept of acupuncture just gives me the willies. It wigs me out.
Yeah.
I know people swear by it. I'm not questioning that, but now you're telling me it can go awry, which is a whole nother level of things that I need to worry about. So walk me through that.
I don't know if it went awry. Maybe the needle went a little deep, and there was some howling pain involved. But you know, it's all good, man. It's funny when you're an aging athlete, you'll do literally anything to your body to like stay on the field or stay in the ring. You know, because I can count. You know, I'm counting the sparring sessions left in my life, like on one hand, probably at this point. So the more I can get in, the better. And as long as my body holds together, I'll keep doing it.
Now, do you have the thing that I have where, like, you have a almost, I would say, probably a bad level of feeling like you like if you're in pain, don't express it. And that's like especially true at like the doctors or something like that, or where I experienced it the most is when I was getting massage therapy after my car accident, right? The person doing the work, right, would always be like, okay, now tell me if this gets to be too much, right? Yeah. And in my head, I did not want to be the guy that said, yeah, like you're hurting me. You know what I'm saying? So do you get that with like, was there any moment with that particular needle where you're like, no, I can take this. And then the realization like, no, I actually can't, this hurts. And I need to say something. Yeah. You got to swallow that pride.
I know the guy that does my acupuncture really well. And, you know, he can tell when I'm hurting. So, and I think All kidding aside, I think I'm over that pride, really, because they want to know. It's actually like a professional interaction, so it's not like the massage therapist is like more proud of me if I don't show pain. Like they don't care. They're just trying to do their job well, and if they're truly like causing us to howl in pain and we just clinch our jaws and get through it, then they're not happy with the job they've done. So. With age comes a little bit of perspective and not having to show off for the like massage therapist who's a stranger. So
yeah,
exactly. It's all good.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad you're in. Are you sparring with who are you sparring with? Maxim?
Yeah, it was Maxim today, and he awesome. He's very good. He's getting really, really good, and he just puts the heat on me for four rounds, man. The guy doesn't get tired, I swear. And he can just throw punches in bunches, So for a heavyweight like me, it's a good challenge because I have to move my head offline, get out of the way, cover up, move around, show him some different angles, make myself a little harder to hit, and also get my own, put my own offense together from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. It's been really fun. Obviously, since you and I kind of first met years ago, kind of getting to see your boys obviously grow, right? Mm-hmm. But then also kind of get to the point now where it's no longer a dad that's like, teaching his son, like, okay, let's
right.
You're actually able to like get some work in, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That's so cool to see, and that's really, really neat.
It's fun, man.
It's just awesome.
I'll tell you, with both of them now, I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to survive these sparring sessions with Mazzy. And then, with Tris, when we put the pads on and I give him 20 pass sets or so and he's bull rushing me and, club rip, club swim, I'm just trying to survive. And it's fun, though. Yeah. It's absolutely so fun. And I'm looking at a picture here on my office wall of me. I was probably like... 35, and I was coaching Tristan's peewee team, and he's in his gear, and I'm leaning down to like whisper something into his helmet, and I remember we used to run this hill. We had a hill behind Grand Ledge Elementary where he went to school. There was this like tremendous hill. It was perfect for sprinting, and we used to sprint that hill, and I remember coming home one day. He was probably in middle school, and I used to give him head starts when he was little so that we would finish kind of together. And I remember the day he beat me straight up, and I was like, whoa, that's a milestone. Oh. I'm never going to catch him again. I'm always going to be looking at the back of him, And that was a pretty cool day.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Those moments are so cool to see. I mean, like we were talking about last week, I think, it's appropriate to allow yourself to feel those bittersweet life transitions, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a good thing, because you see your sons growing up to be, men, and as scripture says, the strength of your right arm, right? You see that transition happening, and that's really cool, man. To see. That's awesome.
I love it. Yeah, they're such good boys. Tristan's working security at our church and serving the body that
so
way.
Cool.
And Maxim's learning auto body repair, and they're just great guys,
that's
man.
Awesome.
Yeah, great
that's
guys.
Awesome. So I love thankful. That, dude. Yeah. Well, yeah. Every once in a while, I got to get an update on the boys and see how they're doing. It's so cool
Absolutely.
To see their progression.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. a family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Breaking apartment news. The Champion people, you know, the people with the good apartments, bring you River Park of Dublin with this amazing deal.
No rent until 2026. Live in one of the coolest places in the city, right by Bridge Park, and you will not pay rent until next year.
I don't believe it.
I lie a lot, but not about this.
River Park of Dublin. Great location, great amenities, and now a great special. Okay, now go to livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We've got a good amount of stuff to cover today, and obviously if we don't get to it all, we'll throw it over to the Patreon, but we have an Ask Coach Cluck, and this one's fun. I might have to expand it, because I don't know how much of a podcast guy you are, Ted, but the question came from... I want to make sure I get the name right. Listener Joshua Glimpf, another Josh. I love it.
Yeah.
He wants to know, what are your favorite podcasts? So I have a few. So I'm not. It's always funny. Like, I feel like with podcasts specifically, I hear this more than like writers. Right. Yeah. You hear often a lot of writers are big readers.
Yeah,
and I think
sure.
I think that's a common thread.
It's what I have being good found, at the craft.
Exactly, and what I have found, Ted, and this is probably, I mean, it's probably speaks to the I don't know, maybe lesser nature of the creativity of it, but a lot of the guys that I know that do their own podcasts don't listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I think that's a conversation in and of itself that maybe would be interesting to have. But I have a couple that I can throw out there as things that I enjoy. But I want to throw it over to you first, Ted. I know you at least listen to one. There's one boxing podcast that you've sent me a couple times that is really, really cool. But what when you have time, Ted, what are some podcasts that you like perusing?
I actually have several that I listen to. And I want to say a thing about the overarching issue that you presented, and in a way that I think podcasting differs from like writing books, right?
Yes.
So there's kind of different layers of art, and I think a long book length work, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of thought, it takes a lot of creative energy, and it's sort of, it exists on a higher level than a podcast. The podcast to me, Josh, live somewhere in the middle of content and art. If content is a thing to be like metabolized for 15 seconds and then swiped away and forgotten about for the rest of your life, you know, that's kind of where I put content. Podcasts are not art. They're not on the level of, you know, books or great paintings or plays or things of that nature. But I do think they live in a different place than content. So for me, I actually have several that I listen to, several pods that I enjoy. I listen to this this movie podcast called The Rewatchables on The Ringer. It's Bill Simmons, Chris Ryan, usually a kind of rotating cast of bros who are interesting. So sometimes Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network, Ryan Russillo. And they just talk about movies. They break down movies. They have categories. A little plug, I'm teaching podcasting at Union next semester, so if you want to come to Union and learn about podcasting, hit us up at uu.edu/apply, enter the promo code Cluck, get your Cluck beanie in the show notes beneath this episode. Cluck beanies make a great holiday gift, but I love The Rewatchables because it's always funny, it's always insightful, the people are a great hang, it's just a great podcast. So that's one that I listen to almost every week. The one I'm listening to right now, actually, right before recording, is Inside Boxing Live with Dan Canobio and Chris Algieri. Dan Canobio's father invented CompuBox, so the thing that counts the punches landed during the round. Kenobi's dad invented that. And then Chris Algieri is a fascinating character. He was a pro boxer himself, had some success in the ring, but also like has an advanced degree and was sort of an intellectual outside the ring. So that one's a really fun hang. I listen to the Ringer Fantasy Football Show. Again, I think you listen to pods, Josh, either because you want to learn something, you want to glean information, or the people on it are just a great hang. And this one, the Ringer Fantasy Football Show, they're great hangs. They're a lot of fun. And spiritually, there's one that I'm loving right now called Things Unseen with Sinclair Ferguson.
Sinclair Ferguson.
So, they're just little 7 to 8 minute, you know, lessons on a short passage of scripture. The voice is very soothing. The teaching is always really good, and it's a good way to start your day. So those are a few that I'm into. What about you, man?
I love that. Yeah. Mine is very eclectic. It has like, for me, I listen to podcasts based on the interests that I have.
Yeah.
So if you're going to look on my podcast feed, you're going to see it's almost a little snapshot at the different facets of my life, the things that I find interesting, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it's a mix of, well, I'll just go down. We do, on the spiritual end, we agree on the Things Unseen. I've been listening to that for a couple of years. Fantastic podcast, said, just a short little devotionals by Sinclair Ferguson. Anything read in a Scottish accent is automatically going to sound better and hit your soul in a different way. I feel like, it really man. Just hearing him like soothe you is just it's nice. It's really nice. Let's see. So on the spiritual end, Things Unseen. I've got Truth for Life on there because and here's the thing, Alistair Begg for me is a. I do like Alistair Begg a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound weird, but I'll follow it through. Alistair Begg for me is a nostalgia listen because I have memories of being at my grandparents' house when I was a kid. Mm. Whenever we would visit the west side of the mountain, we would stay at my grandparents' house, and I always remember at 8 o'clock. Every morning on the radio, Alistair Begg would come on, and my grandpa would turn it on, listen to Alistair Begg while my grandma made breakfast for everybody. And I would sit there next to my grandpa and eat this, you know, amazing breakfast as only grandma can make and listen to Alistair Begg. And, dude, it's every time I listen to the intro music and Alistair starts talking, I'm, like, transported back to being, you know, 10 years old at my grandparents' house. So. That and I like Alistair Begg, so that's good. there's a counseling podcast that I listen to called Hope Plus Help podcast. It's put out by the IBCD. Basic. She interviews basic, just different people, all within the realm of counseling. On to the fun stuff. I'm a huge stand-up comedy guy. I love stand-up comedy. I am, dude.
Wow.
I always have. I love stand-up. Yeah. I love a good curated stand-up. So I've got some podcasts from some different comedians that I like that I think put out good stuff. Obviously, content warning on all of these because stand-up comedy is often not known for being clean. I will frequent a comedian named Shane Gillis. He has a podcast that I will frequent sometimes. A lot of times they get a little raunchy and it's like, all right, I'm gonna probably you know, skip that one, but that one's pretty good.
Sure.
And then Ted, the other thing for me, which is weird, is true crime.
You're one of the true crime guys, dude.
Well, here's the thing. Now, I got a degree in criminology.
Dude, right? You do? So like, that's crazy. I don't know why I didn't know that, but that's
yeah,
something.
So I was going into law enforcement. That was always the plan before the Lord called me into the ministry.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it was always a plan to go into law enforcement. So I went to Washington State University, got a degree in social sciences and criminology. That was that's what I did because I wanted to be a cop.
You really are a coug. You're a Washington State coug, dude. You went, you got the degree.
Yeah.
We've it's funny. We've talked very little about your like college career. We should explore that at some point. But that's fascinating.
Yeah. No. Definitely Coug through and through. Got my bachelor's from them. So I have always been fascinated still, even though I'm in the ministry now.
Yeah.
You know, you always have those thoughts, right? Yeah. I was actually just talking to my wife the other day about this is, you know, what would have happened? Right. Yeah. Do you ever think about, make a couple decisions different.
All the time. Sliding doors moments in life. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So true crime for me has always been interesting because I love the process. I love the procedures. Yeah. There's my favorite one that I'm listening to right now is a podcast called Sword and Scale.
Okay.
And I really enjoy that podcast. One, just because it's not, sadly, with a lot of like true crime podcasts, it's really hard to find podcasts that people don't like infuse their like very liberal worldviews into.
I know.
And this guy's the exact opposite of that. Probably to many people's chagrin.
Interesting.
But I enjoy it. I think how he puts the podcast together, whether you agree with his conservative leanings or not, the product is very good. He obtains the original recordings, the audio of all the interviews, the interrogations, body cam footage, dispatcher calls. I find it very interesting. So Sword and Scale is a great true crime podcast. There's some sports ones. Last one, this one's purely for pleasure. It's called Bob Does Sports.
Okay.
And it's a bunch of YouTube golf guys that I follow that are hilarious. They're really funny. And that is completely the personality one, is they're getting together, and I like their personalities. They're all from the East Coast, so they all got the East Coast
accents.
Great
accents. Yeah.
Oh, they talk bagels and golf and all that. I just love it. It's great.
I love it.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a weird alchemy what goes into making a good podcast, a listenable podcast, you know, and I think it's more like art than science, and it'll be interesting teaching this class on something that I haven't put a lot of thought into in my life. Like I've just kind of, you know, let her rip on these podcasts, all of them that I've been a part of. And, you know, I would just kind of hop on and go and for one reason or another, they've all worked out pretty well. You know, the Happy Rant course worked out well, and this one is doing well. And my other one, Gut Check, people love that too. So, we're going to kind of delve into the art of the elevated conversation, which is something we talk about in journalism. So I think their journalism chops will help them. But honestly, if you're going to be a writer of any kind in 2025 or a journalist, you know, almost all of them or all of us have the attendant podcast, you know, and it's another way for audiences to know you. Again, I think it lives on a higher organ than content. So to me, it's more interesting than having a Twitter presence or a Instagram presence, and it's just something I've always enjoyed doing, so I'm glad this medium exists.
No, I am too, man. Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a lost art. Well, I think it's a quickly being lost art of how of just conversationalism.
Oh yeah.
How to keep a conversation going.
100%.
Right? Because when I look at the podcasts that I've done that have been successful, this one and then The Reformatory, both doing well, both have, you know, consistent listenership. I've often thought, okay, what are the things that keep a podcast going, right? Obviously consistency.
Yeah.
If you're not putting it out there, you're not going to get listens, right?
Yeah.
But you have to put out a good product.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's important. You have to put out something that people want to listen to or need in some way, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Ted, so much of it rides or dies on the hosts being able to keep conversations going and be interesting.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I tell my students all the time, I think it will be a generational superpower for them if they're able to do it. And, you know, there's so much talk about Gen Z kind of coming up the chasm on their phones and kind of losing that ability. But by God's grace, man, I have a room full of students every time I teach who are really good conversators, you know, and that's something we work on. I mean, we have probably what other teachers would call chit chat, but to me, it's like elevated conversation. We have this every class period where we just talk about our lives. We talk about what we're thinking about. We talk about what we're consuming. It's super joyful. It's just friends hanging out. And it's the kind of thing that would play really well on a podcast, right? And so yeah. I think for a writer, for a journalist, for anybody who interviews in 2025, you know, building that muscle and kind of cultivating that sort of machinery is going to make you extremely, extremely valuable. And I love that my students can do it well. Dude, can I give my students a quick shout out?
Absolutely.
We cleaned house recently at something called the Baptist Communicators Association. So we have two kind of big contests that we compete in every year. The biggest one is the SEJC, the Southeast Journalism Conference.
Yeah.
And then BCA is one that we compete in. Dude, we won grand prize for best magazine. We won best news writer. My last year's editor-in-chief, Liv Bell, shout out Liv Bell, got a perfect score. So she won a grand prize. We won grand prizes for design, for cover. We just raked, dude. We absolutely cleaned house. So union journalism, making moves. My students making moves. I'm super, super proud of them, dude.
Dude, you guys are cleaning house out there, man. That's awesome. That's got to feel great.
It does. It does. You know, it feels great to see them get excited about making the product. So yesterday... we do this thing. We have all these little traditions and rituals that evolve over time, you know, and all those things in the aggregate make culture, you know. You talk about what makes the culture of a place or a thing. And so every semester we go to the print shop. So I take the whole staff to the print shop and we get to see the magazine coming off the big Heidelberg printing press. And they get to grab, they get to grab tear sheets and take them home. And dude, they're always so excited to make real product. And I think, again, back to the whole digital age thing, there is something magical about seeing your work in print and feeling like, somebody paid for this. You know, somebody thought enough of my work to publish it. Now it's in print. Now it can go with people in the car, to the beach, you know, on the subway. It's a magical thing, man. And seeing my students do that brings me a lot of joy. And then obviously seeing them succeed and get recognized for their work brings me a ton of joy as well.
And it's because of that that I'm not hugely concerned, at least in this, like in this this area that we're talking about, that I'm not hugely concerned about the AI conversation, because
I'm not either.
There is always going to be that feeling that you get when you see something that you've made with your hands and the satisfaction that you get from that.
100%.
Right? Like, you know, there'll of course be people that take advantage and have AI write all their stuff, and, you know, creativity will take a hit because people are lazy. Right.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be that remnant of individuals that have been there since the beginning. That's going to be through this, that want to make quality stuff simply for the thrill and the feeling of it. Because you're right. Absolutely. There is something absolutely almost intoxicating about finally finishing that thing that you've been working on for so long, and I can show it to you. Here it is, right?
That's right.
And I think we get a little bit of that with podcast stuff because, you know, we put effort into it, put effort into prep. I enjoy editing it, putting out a sharp product that sounds good, that people enjoy.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, AI won't take the place of us, right? Otherwise, so in that sphere, I'm not worried about it. But putting out things like books and magazines or films, right? Or music, right?
Yeah.
That's like AI music is all over the place now, right?
Sure.
Every social media feed is filled with it. People are doing, you know, covers. And here's the thing. If you didn't tell me it was AI, I wouldn't know. You know, it's to that level of quality.
Yeah.
But there's something that happens in my head that when I hear something, oh, that was AI, it automatically gets bumped to a lower tier for me.
Sure. Well, automatically. It's because you're,
you know,
you're created in the image of the creator, right? And
yeah, exactly.
You and I will have a slightly different take on AI than the world. And I think the reason that we're gradations less worried about it, and, you know, I do very little hand-wringing about AI, because I think a person who's created in God's image making something will always win out over a machine making something, right?
Oh, and for sure.
So certainly in the realm of what we do as feature writers, as practitioners of creative nonfiction, you know, trying to make something magical that will allow our audiences to fall in love with us, you know, AI can't do that, man, because that's all pathos. It's all heart. And, you know, we have something that the machine doesn't. And so, yeah, I'm not terribly worried about it. I mean, I think I would be worried if I was, I don't know, if I was putting out content on, like, how to sell a house or how to fix an engine in a 2016 Dodge Durango or whatever. I mean, AI can aggregate that, replicate it, like, you know, probably do a pretty solid job of doing that. But our products don't turn on that kind of energy. And, you know, I'm glad to be doing what we're doing. And it's going to be fascinating at a university for the next decade, Lord willing, if I'm there for that long, just to see how all this gets navigated, you know.
Yeah. And, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll be interested to see what it looks like.
For sure. For sure. Well, that's really cool, man. I think that class is going to be a lot of fun. I think your students are gonna really enjoy learning just kind of the ins and outs of a podcast. It's just another medium to be creative with. I just think that's cool, as having kind of another facet kind of in your quiver that you can be like, well, you know, maybe this will be a fun and productive, you know, medium for my creativity, right? Because everyone has those, and it's really neat.
And I'm breaking news here, but you're going to be a part of it, big fella.
I love this.
I'm going to either bring you in person, or at the very least, like, Zoom you in on Teams or whatever to do a little session on editing and publishing and some of the more technical aspects of the podcast game that I'm weak in. So I've already decided this. I hope you're up for meeting my students and having that experience. But yeah, it's going to be a good one.
That's awesome. Well, I am honored, and I would absolutely love to do that. That sounds super fun. We'll work the details out on the back end. That would be a lot of fun. I'd really enjoy that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for asking. Definitely breaking news. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. We'll have to figure out a way to someday, maybe do like a record session or something that we can put out there. Like, you know, this is how to start a podcast, you know, from two very successful podcasters. I think
that'd
be fun.
Be great.
But Ted, we're going to get out of here, man. We got a Patreon episode to record for our people. And I've got a fun video. I've got a video from, I believe it's the Dove Awards that I gotta show you, in which we're talking about a very popular Christian singer and a very popular secular singer. Yeah, it's good stuff. Wait. It's
hard
quite
to tell the difference
spectacle.
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very difficult, especially in this video. And guys, if you want to hear that, if you want to hear that experience, you got to head on over to the Patreon for $5 a month. That's all it is. Patreon can be yours. You get this episode early, the main episode early. You get a bonus episode that we're going to go record right now, and you get the video feed, the video version of the main ep as well, so you can not only listen to Ted and I, but you can see Ted and I, which is, I don't know if it's worth $5 or not. I mean, it probably depends on the morning, but you get all of that over there for $5 a month, and you get that every single week. So that's pretty good deal if you ask me, but run, don't walk. Link in the description of the episode to become a Patreon supporter, and head on over there and get some of that exclusive content. Also, hit the link in the description of the episode if you want yourself an official Cluck beanie, right? Weather's getting cold, right? Yep. The ears, you know, you don't want them to get all red and tingly because of how cold it is outside. Make sure to get a official Cluck beanie. And Ted's email is in the link in the description of this episode. Venmo what was it, Ted? 15?
No, it was PayPal. PayPal, $15.
Oh, PayPal. That's right. PayPal.
Email address
Thank you.
Below. And yes. I will ship that out post-haste.
It's going to be amazing. Amazing. Get yourself all swagged up in Kluck gear. Get ready for the holidays. They make great gifts, all right? And Christmas is coming. If you don't know what to get that significant other, what do you get the guy that has everything? Well, you get him a Kluck beanie. That's what you get him. And Christmas is coming. Make sure to get all hooked up for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for listening. We will catch you on the next episode of Kluck later.
Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting, and terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM. Because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.